right. What's up, everybody? So we, it's funny how the summer works and, you know, you have holidays and whatnot. So we kind of anticipated everybody being at the lake on the holiday weekend. But you guys are here, right? As Daniel likes to say sometimes, I think you guys are like the super Christians, like more saved, more awesome. Jesus loves you a little bit more than the rest of them. I don't know if that may be flawed theology, but I'm kind of buying into it for the moment. So anyway, we're continuing our series today called Romans chapter 12, and we've kind of cruised through the entire chapter, and we're wrapping that up today. Before we get into that, we started this thing a couple of months ago called Volunteer of the Month, because we talk about our volunteers all the time. We try to encourage people to volunteer. It's the lifeblood of the church. Like, volunteers are what make everything happen and run and be as good as it is. And so we like to celebrate somebody that just goes above and beyond and just kills it, as we like to say. Not like literally kills it, but maybe. If you're out of line, we have volunteers for that too, right? And so anyway, we want to celebrate a volunteer this month. And I'm kind of marching to the beat of my own drum this morning, because I get to kind of do that when I have the microphone, right? So I want to celebrate a guy that, man, he loves Jesus. He loves the church. He serves his butt off. Man, every single week he's here and he gives and he gives and he gives and he gives with a great attitude. And, you know, this is what a lot of times we talk about this a lot. We talk about your intent, your motive, kind of what's the motivation behind what you do. And this guy has just, as far as I'm concerned, the sincerest heart and motivations. I was talking to Shelly yesterday. I was like, man, I don't know very many good guys that are less. I don't know how we were talking about this. We were talking about relationships, and Shelly's like the consummate matchmaker. She's always trying to hook people up. And I'm like, there's not very many guys that I would recommend, and girls are crazy too. So I try to stay out of all of that, right? Because I'm kind of the pessimist when it comes to all of that stuff. And so anyway, I was like, that's one of the best dudes I've ever met, and he's taken, and he just got married, and his name is Keelan Ford. What? Wait, what is it? Respect. Yeah, Keeks. So anyway, Keelan, thank you for all you do. You are the man, right? You guys, man, y'all get me messed up. Jeez. So, anyway, this week we're continuing our series, like I said, called Romans chapter 12. And we're going to cover quite a bit of ground this week, but it's good because we've laid the foundation, and I think we'll be able to understand all of the things that we're going to talk about. So the first week, we talked about, you know, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, and this is kind of worship for you, and do this in light, in view of God's mercy, and that's what God's will for your life is. Then the second week, we talked about how we're interconnected, we're interdependent, we're members of one another, and each of us have different gifts. And so use your gifts, like, don't just do it, but do it well, right? You remember all of that? You know, this is funny to me, and maybe this is just, I get to rant and kind of express my pet peeves on a regular basis. It's funny how, like, a lot of people, and you guys would never do this because you're here on, like, the day after Independence Day, so you guys are like, you know, like the Navy SEALs of Christians, right? But a lot of people, they put so much responsibility on the church to feed them spiritually, but they show up once a month. I'm like, what the heck am I supposed to do, bro? I mean, we can have a buffet once a month, but you're going to be starving in a week, you know? And so, man, come as consistently as you can. Like, when we've gone through this whole book or the whole chapter of Romans chapter 12, if you get 1 week, then you don't really get the full picture. So be consistent. That's a freebie. It didn't cost you a cent. And so we started last week kind of hitting some of the relationship aspects of Romans chapter 12. Because we understand, the second week we talked about how we're interconnected, because we understand that, there are some things that you need to know, because if you're in a relationship, you need to know how to handle that relationship, because relationships inevitably have conflict, they have turmoil, they have difficulty, and you got to know how to work through it, not to quit on it, because that's what the world does. You work in it until it's hard, and then you quit. And that's garbage, because you get to the good stuff when you're willing to work through some of the trivial stuff. Shelly and I have been married for 14 years, and like, our relationship now is better than it's ever been, I think, in my opinion. All right. Shelly, did you put on deodorant this morning? Okay, because, man, that's tough. And so, relationships, man, you just got to understand that there are some things that you need to bring to the table, and you can't just be all about you and what you get out of it and selfish and prideful. You have to be willing to contribute. And so we talked last week about how Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, it says, be devoted to one another in love. Devotion, which is sometimes lacking in our world. That's, you know, I think the average tenure for a relationship is like 36 seconds. That's breaking pew research, right? From the pews, because I watched some of y'all's relationships. And so be devoted to one another in love. And it talks about being honoring one another above yourself, like giving preference to one another in honor. And that's not an easy thing to do sometimes. But I think if we want to have the best relationships that we can have, then that's what we should do. And so what's really cool, we talked about all of that. And so Paul, he's kind of starting to talk about our relationships with one another, our lateral relationships. And then kind of in the middle of that, seemingly out of nowhere, we get Romans chapter 11 and verse 12, and it says this: never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And so it kind of seems like right in the middle of talking about how we should relate to one another and we should be devoted to one another and we should honor each other, he stops talking about us and starts talking about our relationship with God. And it seems kind of like there's probably a method to the madness, right? There's a reason for the thing that's going on and why he does what he does, because I think Paul was a brilliant guy. And I just think that Paul understands that the source of our love for each other is the source of love in general. Like, God is love. And so if we have love, we give love. It says in 1 John chapter 4, I was reading this week and I was like, man, it's so perfect. 1 John chapter 4, it says that we love because he first loved us. Like, our ability to extend grace and patience and forgiveness to other people comes from us understanding that grace and patience and forgiveness has been extended to us. And so it's just all we do is we respond with what we've been given. And so the source of our love is Jesus. And so Paul isn't really out of sorts when he's talking about our lateral relationships and then starts talking vertically. It's perfect. It makes perfect sense. It's not crazy talk, right? It's right talk. It's good talk. He understands to get this right, you got to get this right, right? Good. So I don't know, I was thinking about fireworks and whatnot. We're talking about if there's smoke, there's fire. And most of you saw that last night. There was one point we were popping fireworks, and the benefits of having rednecks in your family is, man, they spend some money on fireworks. True story, right? And so, and the cool thing is rednecks like to compete. And so, like, if one spends a lot of money, the other one's going to spend just a little bit more. Right? And so at one point, like, all of these, like, I mean, we have a semi-professional fireworks show going off at our little gathering, and it's all because of the rednecks. Gotta love them, right? And so at one point, we couldn't even really see the fireworks because there was so much smoke from everything that's going on down here. You can't really see what's going on up top. And so I was just thinking about this. Like, if there's fire in our relationships, then there's smoke, there's byproduct. If again, let me kind of back that up. The source is the fire, and that's our relationship with God. And if there's fire, there's smoke. Those are the byproducts of our love. Does that make sense? Didn't really come out as well as I thought it should. Sometimes you just struggle, right? And so if there's smoke, if there's passion, if there's devotion, if there's commitment to each other, if there's patience with each other, if there's honor, that probably means that there's a fire inside of you. There's fervor for God, like spiritual zeal and serving the Lord and patience in affliction and fervent in prayer and all of those things that he talks about in Romans chapter 11 and verse 12. And so those are just byproducts. The ability to extend to others what has been given to you is a byproduct of love, of the love of God in your life, right? So I wanted to just kind of break down what Romans chapter 12, verses 11 and 12 mean and what it looks like. Because, you know, sometimes I think we read things and we're like, oh, that's good. But we don't really take the time to figure out exactly how it is it applies to our life. If you're anything like me, like, a lot of times, I'll be honest, I just read for information. I just read because it's something I'm supposed to do and something that, you know, if you're a good Christian boy, you're supposed to do that, right? Sometimes I do that. And then there are other times where it's like, you guys have probably heard these expressions, like, you don't read the Bible, you let the Bible read you, right? And then you're just reading something, man, it's like, poof, like, punches you right between the eyes. It's good. All right, never mind, I'm going to leave it alone. So, verse 11, it says this: never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And so, really, just simply, this just, it's kind of, if you want to reduce it down to the simplest terms, just be passionate, man. Keep Jesus as the number one priority in your life. And I've told you guys this before, and it's kind of, it's, I guess it's in some way, it's a confession. I like to make a confession to everybody. different, right? When I'm struggling, like if my relationship with God is not as it should be, if I'm not praying like I should, if my quiet time's not like I should, if I'm not reading like I should, then I usually, that's when I have a bad attitude. That's when I'm short with people. That's when I'm impatient. But if I get this right, this is good. This is easier. My ability to withstand children and whatnot is a lot greater. And so, man, I'm just convinced that that's it. Like, that's the start. That's the first place that we've got to go for our relationships here to be good, is to make sure that you keep the passion good in your relationship with God. Keep it strong. And here's the deal. Just thinking about this in terms of fire. If the fire's not there, it's because you didn't tend to it. Right? Like, if you just give a fire, get it started, man, you could have that thing roaring. And if you walk away for an hour and you come back, it's dead. It's gone. You've got to keep tending to it. You got to poke the logs, right, and throw another one on there. And so this is what happens a lot of times in the life of a Christian, is they don't tend to the fire, and then they're kind of like stale, and they're like, oh, I don't really feel it. Oh, don't get me started. Because, and this is, they put all, oftentimes, not all of the times, I'll give some people an out. A lot of times they put all of the onus and responsibility on the church, and they say, oh, I'm not really getting fed at that church. So they go to another church, and then after some point in time, or, you know, sometime there, they're like, oh, I'm not really getting fed at that church. And there's a pattern because they are not taking responsibility for themselves. Right? Like, you got to keep the fire burning. It's your responsibility. It says in Philippians to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Like, it's on you, bruh. Right? Good. So keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. And kind of going all the way back to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says to worship and be a living sacrifice. And do this in view of God's mercy. Man, it's not hard. If you just remember what's been done for you, it's all a response. Life is all about a response. Jesus died on the cross for you. God's love for you was so great that he lavished his love on you through his son, Jesus. Respond, right? It's just that simple. But we make it really hard sometimes. We complicate even the most simple things because we're really good at that. I'm fantastic at finding problems. But when it comes to solutions, not so much, right? So the next one is this. It says, be joyful in hope. Be joyful in hope. And really, if you kind of look at the words, the definitions, the terms, that really just means to rejoice again in your salvation. And that's kind of a continuation of what we just talked about. Just remember what's been done for you, like, and be joyful in that, because here's the deal. Life is not always going to be fantastic for you. Life is not always going to be free of cares and worries and adversity. Like, you're not always 18. And everybody that's 18 is like, what's he talking about? You got it so good. I forget who. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were like, man, I just wish I didn't have any bills and problems and all that stuff like I did when I was 18. Because then you get older, and you got responsibility, this little thing called responsibility, and it kicks in, and it kicks your tail sometimes, right? And so life's not always going to be easy, and it's not always going to be simple, and it's not always, and honestly, it's not always going to be fun. But you can find joy in your salvation. You can find hope. Rejoice again in your salvation. Remember again what it is that Jesus did for you. And there's joy in that. There's strength in that. There's hope in that. It says again that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I think sometimes that's all you're going to have to hold on to, because everything else in your life may be going crazy, but there's that constant, that one thing that you can hold on to, and you know that it's good, and you know that even if everything else is crazy, you know that Jesus still loves you because of what he did for you. So be joyful in hope. The next one says to be patient in affliction. We kind of already addressed that, right? I've always said this, and I firmly believe this, that one of our greatest tools for influence, one of the greatest things that we can use to influence other people and to lead other people, is our response to adversity. Because a lot of people, when adversity comes, like, just, man, watch the news, right? Like, when adversity comes, everybody freaks out. And, man, if there were a freak-out meter for the United States, it's like every week something happens and it pegs out, right? And then we kind of come back to center and it's like, bam, right? Like, just patient in affliction. Patient in affliction. It's going to happen. You're going to go through struggles and trials and temptations and all of these things. Just be patient, endure, right? I love the way it says in the book of Job, it says that it rains on the just and the unjust. Just because you're a good person doesn't mean the bad things won't happen to you. Like, we buy into that notion or this lie that Jesus makes everything perfect in our lives, and that's just not reality. It's Jesus was persecuted. Jesus kind of hung on this thing called a cross. I don't know. Things didn't always go well for him. So you're going to face adversity, so be patient in affliction. And I just think, man, just the more quickly you understand that, the better you will be for that, right? And the last one is this, and they all kind of, it's funny how they kind of flow into one another. The last one is to be faithful in prayer. You know what I've noticed about prayer, and I already told you guys my struggle with this, that if I don't pray like I'm supposed to, like, this don't work as well as it should, right? But prayer doesn't always change my circumstances, but prayer always changes me. Without fail, man. Like, and a lot of times what we want God to change things or people or situations. And really what needs to change is you, your perspective, your attitude, your approach. Like, that's what needs to change. It always changes me. And so be faithful in prayer. Every time, I think a lot of times we use prayer as a last resort. Like, when it's crazy and gone buck wild, we're like, oh, Lord. Right? But what if it were a first response? Like, what if we were faithful to pray about everything that was going on in our lives, and maybe, just maybe, we would keep ourselves out of some of the stupid situations that we get ourselves into, because instead of asking for God's, you know, mercy on the backside of a problem, we ask for God's guidance on the front side of a problem. Just something to think about, right? So the point of all of this, and the way that Paul interjects this idea of keeping God kind of, you know, keeping the fire burning there, it's not at random. It's very intentional, because then we're going to continue and we're going to wrap up the chapter by looking at some more of these relational things and must and rules that we have horizontally. But you got to keep the vertical part of it, keep it front and center, right? So that's the fire, and here's the smoke. Sound effects. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. So we started talking about this last week in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. And it says to love sincerely, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another, and honor one another. Right? We talked about that. And all of that happens, all of that's possible when we got this right. And we're focusing on this and working on this. Then this happens. This is a byproduct of this. Right? Matter of fact, I think I skipped. Did I skip 1 John chapter 4, verse 20? I think I did, didn't I? Because it's not exclusive. They're not exclusive of each other. They work hand in hand. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, it says this. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. This is in the Bible. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Right? And so when you have like these hostile, angry, vitriol-spitting Christians, I'm like, did you read that one? Right? Because they love God so much, but they hate people. And I'm like, they can't be exclusive. Like, it's impossible. They're inseparable. They work together. Because you love God, you love people. Like, that's the way that this thing works. And so if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. Romans chapter 12, verse 13, it says this. These are some of the byproducts. These are some of the things that happen in our relationships with each other because of our relationship with God. It says, to share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. And so what's really cool about that is if you look at kind of the way that these words play out, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Share with those around you who are part of the community of faith, the family of faith, your church body, whatever you want to call it. Share with them. If they've got a need, man, help them out. And this is a lot of times what we do is we say, I'll pray for you. Like, that's our sharing with people in need. And so if somebody's like, let me give you an example of this. Somebody's like, yeah, man, I need to move some stuff. And you know, I don't have a truck and I don't have a trailer, but I got to get from this point to this point, and I'm moving houses or whatever the case is. Oh, I'll pray for you. They don't need prayer, bro. They need a pickup, right? They need a trailer. And I hate moving. I hate it, but I'll help you sometimes. Ask somebody else first, and I'll be a last resort, right? But share with the Lord's people who are in need. Like, help the people that are around you, because there's going to come a time where you could use some help. And that's the beautiful thing. Like, we've all got different gifts and abilities and talents. So we share. And as we share, we can do anything. I mean, there's very little that I don't think that we could accomplish if we put our minds to it and together, right? And then the second part of that, it says to practice hospitality. And I love the way that it uses the word practice. Don't think about hospitality, right? Don't talk about hospitality. Practice hospitality. Talking about practice? I'm talking about the hospitality, right? Any of you sports fans, anybody not know what that is? All right, go look it up. Allen Iverson, practice. All right, and so it says to practice hospitality. And what's really cool is if you look at the word hospitality and practice and kind of the way it plays out together, this is what the phrase translates to. It says to pursue or chase after love to strangers. Like, the word hospitality is love to strangers. So the first part is share with those that are on the inside. The second part is to chase after or pursue love to those on the outside, those who are not part of your community, those who are strangers, those who don't necessarily have anything to offer in return to you. Pursue love, give love to them, the people who, so it's like, take care of those that are on the inside, but don't forget about those on the outside. Because a lot of times in churches, it's like they operate with this kind of idea of exclusivity. It's like you can be one and not the other, or one and not the other. But why can't you have both? Why can't you have your cake and eat it too? Because I like cake. So I thought that was cool. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. And that's a much simpler thing to do. Generosity is a much simpler thing to do when you think about what God has given to you. It's just a response. Verse 14, it says this, and some of this is hard, right? Let's not make it sound easier than it is. Some of this is tough. Verse 14, it says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Simple enough, right? God bless you all, go do that, and the world will be a better place. Forgiveness and patience toward those who wrong you, that's not a natural response. That's a supernatural response. Like, when you forgive somebody and you have patience toward somebody who wrongs you, who persecutes you, who says something about your mama, whatever the case is, like, that is not your natural response is, right? What you say about my mama, right? Like, it's nothing resembling forgiveness and patience. But when you remember what's been done for you, it's a lot easier to give that to other people. Because just go all the way back and think about Jesus and kind of the position that we were in as sinners. We were at enmity with God. We were enemies of God. And it says in Romans chapter 5 that while we were still sinners, while we were still opposed to God, that he died for us. He forgave us. And so our response to people who wrong us, just like we wrong Jesus in sin, is to forgive. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And the word bless, this is really not fun to read and not fun because, you know, I don't want to bless people. I want to bless people, right? Best, bless, bust. They all sound so similar. Misinterpretation, that happens sometimes, right? The word bless means this. It means to ask God's blessing on a thing. Pray for God to bless it to one's use. So when somebody does something wrong for you, or to you or towards you, it says that you ask God's blessing on their life. God bless you and everything that's going on in your life, right? Pray for God to bless them or to use them. I mean, here's the deal. Like, I know that that's not a natural response, but who knows how that could affect their life? Who knows, somewhere down the road, because you were willing to not retaliate and you know, live under the laws of recompense, but you were willing to forgive, who knows how that may impact their life or influence them? You may never know, but that's the right path for you. And so, again, you can't really control their response. You can only control your response. Romans chapter 12, verses 15 and 16. Let's get past that because that's rough, right? Okay. No problem for you guys. Y'all go out and do it. And then I'm going to watch. I'm going to take video cameras and watch every time you mess up. And then we're going to show it on Sunday morning. Since you put me on blast, I'm going to put you on blast. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 and 16, it says this. I love this one. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. do not be conceited. And there's so many different, you know, ways we could go with this, but just kind of to recap, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. And I think, again, that speaks to our connectedness, how close we are as people. Like, if you're celebrating a great triumph or victory or success or you know, landmark moment in your life, like, we should be close enough that I should feel that and I should celebrate with you and enjoy that with you. And if you're struggling, if you lose something or somebody, or if you're hurting, like, I should be close enough to you, like, the, you know, not just me, you guys know what I'm saying, like, we should be close enough to each other that we feel that, and we take time, and we get dirty, and we get messy, and we get in the mix, and we make sure that you get through. We mourn with those who mourn, but we also rejoice with those who rejoice. And I was thinking about this. I love the way that it all clicks. It all makes sense. You know that it's funny how the written word of God is called the Logos, which is where we get part of our word logic from. It makes so much sense to me the way this works. It says, to rejoice with those who rejoice, to mourn with those who mourn, live in harmony with each other. And then it says this, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. And I'm just convinced that the reason it says don't be proud and don't be conceited right after it says to rejoice with those who rejoice is because we live in a world of one-ups, right? When somebody's got something good going on in their life, we like to tell them about the thing that we've got going on in our life that's just a little bit better than the thing going on in their life. Why can't we just celebrate them for a little bit? You get to celebrate you 24 hours a day in your little head. Celebrate somebody else for just a little bit. Don't be conceited. Don't be proud. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And then on the other side of it, man, be willing, because this, I'll be honest, like, you know, and there are certain people who abuse this, right? You've got certain people who are like always mourning. If you're always mourning, you need help. Possibly, like, literally, that's not a joke, right? But if you see somebody that's got some stuff going on in their life and they're hurting, man, be willing to talk to them, because that's more difficult than rejoicing with those who rejoice. Like, mourn with those who mourn, man. If they've got something going on in their life, be willing to spend some time with them. Pray for them. Rejoice and mourn with each other. And I love the way that reads. Celebrate each other. Don't just tolerate each other. Honor one another above yourselves. Like, all of these things, they tie together and they make perfect sense. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 20. This is the rest of the verse. And this is my least favorite. You thought 14 was bad. 17 through 20 is even tougher. It says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And that's one of my favorite verses in the chapter, because I think that there are just some people that you're just not going to click with, you're not going to gel with, you're not going to jive with, or whatever you want to say. And so, as far as it is depends on you, as much as it's possible, do everything that you can to live at peace with that person. And if it ain't working, it ain't working. Like, just, that's when it's okay to detach yourself from the situation or the relationship. I love that, because I've been frustrated with that before, where it's like, man, I really, you know, I want to try to make this thing work, and I want him to like me, I want this person to like me, and they don't like me, and I'm doing everything I can to get them to like me, but they don't like me. You ever done that? Am I the only one, right? And they're just, sometimes it ain't meant to be, right? So everything, as much as it's dependent on you, as far as it's possible with your efforts, live at peace with everyone. And then verse 19 and 20, it says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, this is the good stuff. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. I love the poetic nature of that verse, right? If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, when you choose not to retaliate, you choose not to live kind of, you know, by the returning evil for evil, the eye for eye, when you choose not to do that, you heap burning coals on their head. And really, the simple kind of way that we understand that, kind of when you translate it to modern terms, is you kill them with kindness. You kill them with kindness, not literally, although sometimes you wish, right? Sometimes we pray prayers like, God, right? And that's not new to us. If you read the book of Psalms, man, you see a lot of those prayers and you're like, wow, man, I thought I was vindictive, right? And so this is the point. The point of all of that is here's, we have to remember that we're not the judge. Like when it's all said and done, like every one of us are to give an account for our lives, the way that we lived, the way that we treated people, the way that we used our resources, how good of stewards we were with our time and our money and our relationships and all of the things, everything about our life, we'll have to give an account for that. And God is the judge. And everybody else will too. It's not your place to respond. It's not your place to answer evil with evil. It's not your place to be somebody who retaliates. It's God's place to ultimately. I mean, just think about, we live in a world where we have a justice system, fair or unfair, or however it works out sometimes, right? We have a system in place, and it's up to a jury and up to a judge to decide what the penalty is for a particular crime that has been committed. Actually, it's typically up to the judge to determine the penalty. The jury just determines whether they're guilty or not, right? And so it's not, I can't bust up in a courtroom one day and be like, kill that fool for speeding. Right, I don't get to determine what the outcome or the penalty is for a particular crime. Like, that's the judge's responsibility. He's got that. And the same thing is true in a spiritual sense and kind of an overarching sense. Like, God is the judge. He's the one that will take care of all of that. It's not our place to respond and be vindictive and all of those things. And so this is probably one of my least favorite parts of the chapter, but I think the necessity of it and the truth of it remain intact, and it's something that we need to have in our life. We aren't called to live by the way of retaliation and recompense. It's not our place to determine what happens to other people or what other people should get. That's God's place. And so all you can do is respond to others the same way that God has responded to you. You can be patient, you can be kind, you can be forgiving, you can be graceful and merciful, as difficult as that is. And again, just remember like this, that is not a natural response. That's nothing that we do naturally. That's something that we do supernaturally. Because of what God has done for us, because of what God is doing in us, we do that for other people. We give to other people only what God has given to us in his son, Jesus. So kill them with kindness. Sometimes we got to pause, like kill them with kindness, right? Just fine, I guess. So anyway, let me pray for us. I just wanted to, this has been one of my favorite series. I love Romans chapter 12, so it's been a bit self-serving. But man, I think this is something that if we just take some time and try to think about and process, not just this last month, but just continue to mull over some of the principles that we've talked about, I believe that it can continue to have an impact in our lives. So let me pray for us. Father, we love you so much. God, we are so thankful for all that you do for us, for your great love for us. God, how great this love is that you've poured out on us, that you've called us your children, that you love us like a father, the greatest father, loves their children, God. And we know that that's the kind of love that you have for us. God, thank you for the truth of your word. God, that we get to see what it means to relate to each other and how we should handle those relationships. But God, we also understand that the strength of our relationship with each other depends on the strength of our relationship with you, God, that you are the fire, that you are the source, and all of the patience and forgiveness and kindness that we extend to each other is just a response of what you've done for us, Jesus. God, we love you, and we pray that this isn't just a message, and these aren't messages, this series isn't just something that we hear one time and kind of, you know, stow away somewhere, God, but it's something that we revisit on a daily basis, to know what it is to honor one another above ourselves, to know what it is to be devoted to each other, to know what it is to bless those who persecute us, to know what it means, God, to live at peace with everyone, to live in harmony, to rejoice with those who rejoice, and to mourn with those who mourn. God, don't let these just be words that we hear, but let these be principles that we apply to our lives. Jesus, we love you, and we ask these things in your precious name. And everybody said, amen.